All right, so last week we introduced the concept of dvarim charifim, of sharp foods, and we explained that as much as we introduced the concept of nat bar nat, which means that even though the flavor of an isser, or the flavor of a food, is like the actual substance of the food, but that halacha has a caveat that after 24 hours, the flavor, which was absorbed into a keli, into any type of vessel, starts to go sour, and therefore cannot transfer any positive flavor. So if you ever have flavor which is absorbed into a keli, which is absorbed into a pot, into a spoon, into a plate, or whatever it might be, the halacha is that flavor is viewed as if it is the actual isser, the actual food that lent that flavor to that keli. But after 24 hours, that flavor goes sour. After 24 hours, that flavor can no longer transfer as if it is the substance itself. It's called nesin tamlif gam. Even though that's true, but when you have a davar charif, you have a strong item, a strong food item, it has the ability to be able to extract the flavor and improve the flavor. So it's mechalyalei l'shvach is the term that's used. Even though the flavor would normally, through a regular cooking process, only lend a sour flavor, would only give a flavor which is not going to be able to create a new isser or to transfer that prohibited flavor to another food. When you have a sharp food in the equation, it's able to transform that flavor into being a positive flavor. That's one halacha with regard to sharp foods. The next halacha with regard to sharp foods is even though we learned the concept of nat bar nat, which means that when a flavor is transported too many times, it starts to lose its strength. And therefore, when it comes to basar b'chalav, you cannot create a new basar b'chalav. You can't. In other words, the whole idea of basar b'chalav is you're mixing milk and you're mixing and meat together. In other words, you're taking meat and milk and mixing it together, which miraculously takes two dvarim mutarim, two food items which are perfectly permissible to be eaten, mix them together, and all of a sudden, bang, you have an isser. That can only happen through a real bona fide taste, the real bona fide flavor. But when the flavor took too many stops along the way, in other words, it's a second generation flavor, it's a nat bar nat, it's nosein tam into the pot, and then the pot releases that flavor back into the food, so the flavor had to stop along the way, the halacha is that cannot create a new isser of basar b'chalav. Exactly the nuanced details of under what circumstances we say nat bar nat, under what circumstances we don't, we discussed in previous weeks. It depends on whether you follow the Ashkenazi custom or Sephardi custom. It depends, and there's a whole lechatchila b'dieved and whole hierarchy, and just in terms of what would actually create an isser, what would be mutar lechatchila, what would be b'dieved. So davar charif has the ability to knock out that din of nat bar nat, even though nat bar nat weakens the flavor too much to create a new isser. Davar charif yanks out, it's able to extract the flavor even though it's considered weak. So those are the two halachas with regard to davar charif. Number one, even if the flavor is old, it's been there more than 24 hours, and under normal circumstances it would be considered nesin tamlif gam, davar charif, a sharp food item, has the ability to be able to transform that flavor into a positive flavor. And number two, even when the flavor had to stop somewhere along the way, and therefore would generally be categorized as a nat bar nat, a nosein tam bar nosein tam, in other words, a grandchild of the flavor, which is a generation removed from the actual item. In such a case, it's a derivative. It's not just a derivative, it's a two-level derivative. In such a case, that flavor cannot create a new isser of basar b'chalav. We also mentioned that that's not true when it comes to real isser, like nevela or trefa or anything like that, or something which is a behemoth tameach, like a chazer or an animal which is not kosher. That flavor remains usser as many generations down as it passes on. Again, barring one shita in the Rishonim that I'm aware of, and nobody passes like that. What we're going to discuss today is what happens in a second keli. And that's the question that I posted on the WhatsApp chat, which is as follows. A person cuts an onion. So for argument's sake, last week we discussed that there's a question about an onion, but let's make a case where everybody would agree that an onion is a davar charif. You used a knife that morning to cut a hot steak. Okay, you used a knife, took a steak sitting on the grill. While the steak was on the grill and it was hot, you took a knife to cut it. Everyone agrees right now that knife is fleishig. It's called a ben yoyme, it's a fleishig knife. 20 minutes later, you take that knife, you clean it off. And 20 minutes later, you cut an onion with that knife. So the knife is a ben yomei, but it's a not bar not, because the flavor of the meat went into the knife. And now you want that meat to transform or transport itself through the knife into your onion. So under normal circumstances, that would be considered a not bar not, for sure, according to Sfardim, and even Ashkenazim b'dieved. Cutting a vegetable later on would not be considered fleishig. But when it comes to an onion, even though it's a not bar not, the onion has the ability to extract all of the flavor inside the knife, and the onion becomes fleishig. Okay, so everyone would agree with this. You have an onion which is cut with a ben yomei fleishig knife, even though the knife is clean, does not have any particles of meat on it, but it absorbed flavor from meat that morning, and that day you cut an onion with that knife, the onion is fleishig. Okay? Again, onion doesn't have any particles of meat on it, but it was used. There's a duchka de sakina. The knife cuts through it with force. The knife has flavor of meat stuck into it. The onion is sharp. It has the ability to extract the flavor from that knife. So now your onion is fleishig, according to everybody. Do not melt cheese onto that onion. But what happens now? You take that onion and you want to make potato kugel. So you put it into the food processor. Put it in the food processor. The knife inside the food processor is now dicing up that onion. Or more than dicing it, it's grating that onion to a very fine mixture. So now the question is, you just cut a fleishig onion with your food processor. Did you now make your food processor fleishig? Now what would be the consequence of that? Not so much, because after 24 hours, that knife would also be nice and tam lufgam. So but the evidence wouldn't ruin anything. And the only problem would be to go ahead and subsequently cut a davar charef. But that could be a problem, because the next time you make something, say you want to make potato latkes, and you want to make them milchig to be eaten with sour cream or something like that, so you put them in your food processor with an onion. So again, the onion has the ability to extract flavor, even if it's a not bar not. Now, in terms of whether it would be after me'es la'es, it's not a ben yomei. So we discussed as the machlekes whether an onion is strong enough to cancel both din and both din of not bar not and the din of any ben yomei. So let's say you're going to grind up something very strong in there, stronger than onion. In halachic terms, let's just say a radish. A radish is considered to be a davar charef according to everybody. You grind up a radish in that food processor, it would be fleishig. You would not be able to add it or use it together with anything which is going to be milchig. So this could be a very consequential discussion. So what's the halacha? Is that indeed the halacha? Is that indeed the case? I'm sorry they don't have copies, because the copy machine is not working due to the power outage. I'll pass this around and hopefully we'll be able to see what happens there. In the halachas of Noisin Tam Lufgam, there's a Ramah which appears in Sif Gimel. And he says something very interesting, which is a springboard to a whole discussion as follows. Yesh Aimrim de Bidvarim Kharifim Lamina Din Naisin Tam Lufgam. That's the halach we just mentioned. By Dvarim Kharifim, it's source number one on that page. By Dvarim Kharifim, by sharp food items, we don't say the halach of Naisin Tam Lufgam. Commotion is barisim instead of the K. In other words, what we just mentioned, he's saying you don't say the halacha of nois and tam lufgam when it comes to sharp food items. V'lachein im bishul b'kederes isra she'ena bas yema meichel charef k'gnir tavshol sheru b'chomet z'tavlin o'yishar z'varam charefim aser. So you basically just illustrated the case we just said. You cook in a pot a davar charef. It has the ability to extract flavor even though it's not from that same day. Now he says something interesting. Aval, im haya ha'isr davar charef, if the isr was a davar charef, v'yachar kach shahak derem mi'eis le'eis, you left the pot idle for 24 hours, u'bishlu ba'heter, she'ein ne'charef, you cook in that pot a regular heter which is not sharp, mutter de'ena charifa sarishin mashvil le'shvach. It's mutter because the original sharp food that was absorbed into the pot doesn't make the next thing In other words, he seems to be starting off a premise by saying, It's true that Davar Charef has the ability to extract. It's true that Davar Charef has the ability to extract flavor from within a pot, even though it's past 24 hours, and even though it's through the walls of a pot. But if you have a Davar Charef which is absorbed into a pot, that Davar Charef is not necessarily always going to expel a good positive flavor. After 24 hours, the Davar Charef also goes stale. So let's just give an example. Say you have an onion, which is truma. So you're not allowed to eat it, or unless you're a kohen, you're not allowed to eat it. Now you absorb the flavor of that onion into your pot, so your pot can't be used to cook food because you're going to have truma flavor in your food. But after 24 hours, unless you're cooking another Davar Charef in that pot, you would not have a problem because the taste of the onion goes sour as well. And from here, the Shach builds a number of cases. And it's really hard to go through these cases without those pictures, and that's why I put the pictures on. I have it here. I have it here. If you take a picture of it, just notice three cases that are pointed out in this Shach, and then we'll get to our point. The first box on the top is Sunday morning, 9 a.m., you cook meat. This is the halacha of the Isser of a Heter writes this halacha, and it's quoted in the Shach there. Sunday morning, 9 a.m., you cook meat. Monday morning, 9:30, 24 and a half hours later, you cook a Davar Charef. What's the halacha of that Davar Charef? It's fleshig, because it's a Davar Charef. That morning, on Monday morning, within 24 hours of that Davar Charef, you cook milk. What's the halacha? It's mutter. Why? Because more than 24 hours passed since you cooked meat. Oh, but you cooked the Davar Charef in the middle, so the Davar Charef becomes fleshig. That doesn't mean that the pot has a new awakening of fleshigs inside. You still have 24 hours which passed since you cooked the fleshigs. The Shach says if that's true, then I have two more cases which are going to be mutter. What is that? Sunday morning, 9 a.m., you cook iser, something which is usher to eat. Chazer, nevela. That same morning, at 11 o'clock in the morning, you cook a Davar Charef. Okay, so that Davar Charef, regardless, is going to be a problem because it was cooked within 24 hours and it's a Davar Charef. And on Monday, 11:30, so 24 and a half hours post Davar Charef, you cook something which is mutter, kosher meat. The halach is it's going to be mutter. Why? Because more than 24 hours passed since you cooked the iser. Oh, but you cooked a Davar Charef in the middle. Doesn't make a difference, says the Shach. And one more case where he applies this halacha. Sunday morning, 9 a.m., you cook meat. Sunday morning, 11 a.m., you cook a Davar Charef. And then on Monday, 9 a.m., which is within 24 hours of the Davar Charef, but it is 24 hours after you cook the meat, says the Shach, that's going to be mutter as well. Okay, these are the cases that the Shach brings down. And now, I will caution, if you'll read the Shach, you'll come back to me and say, I said the case wrong. Because the Shach doesn't say it the way I wrote it. But without getting into the details, the Shach obviously has a mistake in the way it was written. Because otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And I remember when I was learning this, I was terribly confused by it. Until I found that the Nekudas HaKesef says that I'm right, and there was a mistake in the Shach. And we can go through this another time, but it had to have been a mistake because it made absolutely no sense. And there was no chiddush in the way the Shach was writing it. But this is the way, this is what the Shach means. Okay? What am I pulling out from here? What I'm pulling out from here is that Davar Charef has one ability, and that is to extract something that regular bland foods cannot extract. In terms of what they can expel, we don't have any raya that he can expel anything more than anything else. This leads us to a machlekes between the Magen Avraham and the Evan Ezer, which is a very, very fundamental machlekes. It's a very famous machlekes, and it has tremendous ramifications, particularly to the case that we mentioned, and you'll see there are many other cases where this will come up. So Magen Avraham, go ahead.
Basar, davar charif, chalav, after ben yomo, from the last verse. Now the pot is chalav.
Okay.
Davar charif after that is now chalav?
No, so that pot has a problem now. That problem has, that's a different story, because the pot has a problem, because now, even though both of them could eventually become an Eina B'nyayimai, when a pot has bleus of milk and meat in it, even if they're Eina B'nyayimai, the pot is a problem. You have to kasher the pot.
The food is fine.
Right, so we're talking about over here, we're not discussing the status of this pot, whether you should use the pot again. We're discussing the last dish that you cooked in it. Is it actually going to be a problem to eat it, or do you have to throw it in the garbage? The answer that we're saying is no, you don't have to throw it in the garbage, but certainly this pot needs to be kasher before using it again. Well, davar charif is going to have a major problem. It's right. It's going to pull out bleus of basar and chalav in the same food, right. And it's going to be a problem.
And these are obviously cases of bidyevet. If you did,
correct. Don't do this. Yeah, this is one of those don't do this at home. But this is if you did it, what's going to be the halach? The Magen Avraham is in Hilchos Pesach, and he says something even a little bit backhanded. And what he writes is, I don't have it in my book here. Because I gave it to you, but I'll pull up a shelf. Mr. Brewer, up the shelf. I'll find it. It's good. Keep it there. It's in Tufnan Aleph. It's on your page. It's on that page that I gave you. The Magen Avraham, he writes, when we high time, this is in source number 5, if you took a picture of the page, it's in source number 5, high time, Eisen Shalai Kedin. Shalapa'amim, he says, he's talking about a specific case of a pestle in the mortar. He says, Shalapa'amim chaytchen zangvil besakin shabas zangvil is ginger. You cut ginger with a fleshig knife. V'tachan aysim meducha, you grind it in this grinder, in this pestle and mortar. V'nimtza hameducha balua mipasar. V'yachar kach tachan besaychay besamim. And then you go ahead and you grind besamim in the same grinder. Mamish, exactly our case. What do? You have ginger, cut it with a fleshig knife. You take that ginger, you put it into this grinder. You grind up the ginger. Says the Magen Avraham, your grinder now just became fleshig. Now you go ahead and grind other spices, black pepper, whatever else it might be, inside your grinder. Says the Magen Avraham, your black pepper is now fleshig. You're going to go ahead and mix that black pepper into your cheese omelet the next morning. Says Magen Avraham is treif. Okay? If you see the chart, here, you can have this back. You see the chart that I made, you'll see the way he views it is, you have meat goes into the knife, which is tam rishon. That is tam, that's flavor that goes into the knife. Now, sakin lezangvil, the knife now goes ahead and gives flavor to the ginger. A dying tam rishon. It's still considered tam rishon because its ginger is strong. It doesn't knock down a generation. And then zangvil amachteshes, a dying tam rishon. According to the Magen Avraham, it still remains first generation flavor because all this is davar charif, and it's giving its flavor into the grinder. Now machteshes like zangvil shenis, you grind up another batch of ginger in the same grinder. According to the Magen Avraham, all that is tam rishon. So even though the meat went into the knife, into the ginger, into the grinder, into your next food, says the Magen Avraham, all that is tam rishon. Because it's all davar charif. The Evan Ezer, he disagrees. And he says this is a big mistake in the way the Magen Avraham is understanding this halacha of davar charif. And while davar charif certainly can extract flavor and be mechali le'shvach and turn it into a positive flavor, no one ever said that the davar charif expels flavor as tam rishon. According to the Evan Ezer, it downgrades when it expels the flavor. So his lashon is, let me just pull it up really quickly. Pirish Dvarov, Hada Amur Nat Barnat, that we said, that a Nat Barnat, a flavor goes down a generation and loses its flavor. Ratzlemer de tamrishen nichnas ktsas mina ala keli. A little bit of the tamrishen goes into the keli. V'chayzer v'yaitze ktsas mi atam shabe keli ala meichel. A little bit leaves and goes into the food. Al kei niklash atam v'nismayit avol davar charef. But davar charef doesn't work that way. By lea kol mashe b'seich hakeli nimtzed al kapanim af b'davar charef leka napar nata tamsheni yetze kulei al davar charef. Rak chad noisin tam ika. Domitchilo le'nichnas rak tzas tam. Ela keli fiza b'nidin didan yesh kanat par nat min abasul l'sakin tamrisha nichnas ktsas l'sakin min asakin yotsa kol mashe hayi b'seichai ela zangu v'zenat rishon v'chayz v'yetze min zangu l'abanducha tamsheni. His point is, I don't have the exact lashon written on the paper. The idea that the Ibn Ezra is pointing out is that to go ahead and say that a davar charef does both things, it extracts all the flavor from within the knife and maintains its first generation flavor, that's true. But now what happens when you take that davar charef and you grind it in another keli? What does it give to the second keli? Says the Ibn Ezra, it gives a lower level flavor. It gives tamsheni. So in other words, the Magen Avraham was understanding that when you're dealing with davar charef, the flavor always remains what we consider the actual first generation flavor. It extracts flavor from within a knife, maintaining the flavor as tamrishen. What happens when it, according to the Magen Avraham, when you go ahead and grind that ginger in the grinder, it gives back flavor into that grinder as what? Still first generation flavor, strong flavor. Says the Ibn Ezra, that's incorrect. Nobody ever said that davar charef extracts and expels on the same level. It can extract from within a keli the flavor and keep it as a strong flavor. But no one said it can go ahead and expel flavor back into another vessel and make that a tamrishay. So according to the Ibn Ezra, this would be a simple answer to our question. You cut an onion with a fleshig knife. We'll be done in just a second. Cut an onion with a fleshig knife. The onion has tamrishin, first generation flavor. What happens? Now that onion is fleshig. You grind that onion in a food processor. According to the Magen Avraham, food processor is fleshig. According to Ibn Ezra, it's not true. It's only a second level. It's called tamsheni, and that can't make something fleshig. So this would be a very simple machlokes between the Magen Avraham and Ibn Ezra. How do we paskin? In Hilchas Pesach, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham and not the Ibn Ezra. But this leads us to a classic discussion. We find the halach that only appears in Hilchas Pesach, but not in Yerudea. The Mishnah Berurah didn't write in Yerudea. But when he quotes things in Hilchas Pesach, what does that mean for the rest of the year? And this is where different minhagim come. Many would say that halacha that we're makbar on, that even b'diyeved, is only for Pesach. And when it comes to Pesach, a lot of the halachas are much more chamor. But many are of the opinion that, of course, l'chatchila, you would not do this, but b'diyeved, we would be mekel, and we could discuss there are a number of cases that come from here. It would be either a big chumra, according to the Magen Avraham, or a big kula, according to the Ibn Ezra.